Good morning. I've chosen today to talk about Jesus Christ as Lord. If there's anything anywhere on the face of this earth, especially in our nation, it's Jesus Christ as Lord. I have no power in this world. You have no power in this world when it comes to defending against the evil that's in this world. But I do know that I stand in the presence of the greatest king who ever stood forth, who stretched out his arms and died for my benefit and yours. And I live with a God who will always take care of me, who will always nurture me, who will always keep me free as long as I follow him in his righteous paths and in his ways. The day I step out of that line, God has the right to smote me. Jesus Christ is Lord, period. He's not our Lord, he is Lord, which puts us in the realm where he's our Lord. We need to review some things. For the most part, we, over the years, have tried our best to look for larger views. Would you say that's been a pretty big thing we've done over the years? We look for bigger things, higher views. I love higher views. I want to see God, but I want to see him high and lifted up. That's a larger view. I want to see God's people flourish. I want God's people to be people who believe what God said, and no matter what the difficulty, no matter what kind of thing comes upon us, whatever cross-eyed bear, you know, we get ourselves in, I want to know that I have a God who will lift me up. And so we sing songs like, Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh, what a song. I want to be people. And over all these years, and I'm not saying anything about me, okay? I'm a hick. Most of you probably hadn't realized that. I've been a hick all my life. I'm a good little hick, but I'm a hick. I'm a hillbilly waiting to just turn back to dirt. And it doesn't bother me a bit because I've got to teach people that never learned how to talk. And so, you know, life is good. But what I do know in this life is I stand before God who will never, ever fail me. I stand before God who gives you a promise, and his promise is always true. I stand before God who will deliver me from the mouth of lions, so to speak, when I get in trouble. And he has done it for me for all my life, even when I didn't care anything about him. But here's what I know. I have a God who will keep me awake, and I will live forever. I have no doubt. I have done nothing good enough in my life to warrant that. But I am owned by the one who has it all and gives life to me. You can't beat that stuff. Over all these years that we've been together, I've tried to illuminate things like this so that you wouldn't be scared people. You're going to die. I'm not telling you today, okay? And if I knew it was today, I wouldn't tell you. But you're going to die unless the Lord comes first. Does everybody know that? Is that true, everybody? Good. It's going to happen. You're going to die. Don't worry about dying. Dying is a transition. It's not over because you die. If you listen, read the text, the Apostle Paul will tell you, you will sleep until the resurrection. You will sleep. That's a euphemism for death. You'll be dead. And on the day of resurrection, you will be brought back to life and you will stand on this earth again. It's not over because you die. Don't worry about dying. I've been there twice. It's not that big a thing. Some of you others have been there. But listen, I serve a God who is a God of life, not a God of death. That's who we are. I hate people worrying about, I just want to be ready. What do we mean when we say, I just want to be ready. I just want to be ready when Jesus comes. Let me help you with that. Get ready. That's my best advice. What about you, Alan? You got any better than that? Don't worry about dying. You're going to live forever. That's the good news. Funerals are temporary. Resurrections are forever. There won't be any more death. There will be no more sorrow. All evil in the world will be eradicated. You will not see evil anywhere. That's a deal right there. I just want to be ready. Well, listen here. If you're putting something off, get past it and get ready. You will never be good enough on your own, ever. But you will be made good by the one who imputes his very own righteousness to you. That's what the Old Testament is screaming. Life does not quit just because somebody dies. I'm going to live forever. If you're putting something off, get past it. Listen to this, 16:22, 1 Corinthians. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. Do you know we live in a society that says, oh, I hope the Lord don't come. Hope the Lord don't come. And the New Testament writers said, if anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. I'm ready to go any day God wants to take me. Let's look at some stuff, okay? Why don't the church today cry out, oh, come, Lord? Don't you sing this song. I'm going to sing it. Don't hum it. Don't look it up in the book. Okay, it's not really a good song. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. Oh, I want to be more like him and do his blessed commands. Oh, I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land. We've sung that song 1,000 times, haven't we? What are you getting ready for? What do you got to do to get ready? I'd rather sing a song about I am ready instead of I ought to be. What about you? I am ready. God can take me anytime He wants to and will. If I want to be ready, my only job is to join Him in covenant and stay faithful to that covenant. That's as simple as that. That's not even a difficult job. Will his coming back be the end of all things, or will it be the beginning? What's your judgment? We're always looking for the end. I think the end of time's coming. If I read that, I've been reading. I hate reading. I would rather be beaten with a whip, but I have to do it. And I've been reading all this stuff about people thinking it's the end of time. I see the signs in the heavens. Those same signs have been being seen for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to have to guess when Jesus comes. There's not going to be any guesswork. He's not going to say, raise your hand if you believe this. When Jesus comes, it's going to come out loud. Every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess. They're not confessing their sin. Oh, I know I sinned, Lord. I sinned. Can I get in heaven now? That's not that. They're going to confess. And what they're going to confess is Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if we could get that down right now, we could save ourselves a whole lot of trouble. The general perception when Jesus comes is pretty messed up. Let me ask you something. Let's just go back to creation. Can you go back to creation in your mind? When God created the world, you wasn't there. Well, actually, you were. You were already part of God before you were ever born. You do know that, right? What was the role of man? Genesis 1, 26 and 27 will help us with that. God said, let us make man in our likeness. Let them, thems are us, let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds, the air, the livestock all over the earth, over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Notice there was male and female, and you didn't have any mix with that. What do we really expect for eternity? If you've heard it once, some maybe even said it once, you've probably heard or said it 1,000 times about what's going to happen when you die. I'm going to help you with that. You're not going anywhere but the grave. You're not going to be walking around heaven all day. We can chunk that song. You're not going to be visiting mama and daddy, Uncle Bill and Aunt Jane, Grandma and Grandpa, on the pearly streets. You're not going to be doing that. You're going to be standing in the presence of God, awaiting the resurrection. And that's whether you're good or bad. On the day of resurrection, everybody will be raised, good and bad. Those who have been in the embrace of the covenant of God will live forever. Those who are not will be destroyed. They won't be back. They're not coming back next year or the next. They're gone. That makes it simple. God said that. I mean, he'll tell you that. Listen to Paul. He'll talk to you about it. There's coming a day when sin will be cleansed from our lives and the effect of all evil will be removed. And you will stand before God as clean and pure as God Almighty is clean and pure. We will have to repair everything of God's that was ever damaged because God does not want to work in a junkyard. Never has and don't want to. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15, 20-28. If Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now you understand, falling asleep, what does that mean? They dead. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is not over when you die. As for Adam, all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each of you in your own turn, Christ, the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Everybody he's ever had in their embrace who stayed true will live forever. Verse 24, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he's destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. That's evil sides. For he must reign until he's put his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. If the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and that is canceled in your life, and you stand before God, how long will you live? Forever! What about sin? What happened to sin? Destroyed! It will be pristine, just the way it was the day that God said, "Let there be light." And then he went on down and got all the rest of it. That's how much he cares about us, and that's how important it is for us to assemble in his name and remind each other and sing songs that remind each other and pray prayers that remind each other. God will let us live forever. There'll be no stopping. For he has put everything under his feet. When he says everything he has put under him, it is clear that this doesn't include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. I serve a God who is on our side, and he's not going anywhere. Now, right here, we get to see things in action. Well, I don't know about studying that Bible. It's just so much trouble. Why do you have a Bible? What's the purpose of it? Now, who's the author? Now, it doesn't matter whether Paul wrote it. It don't matter if Judas wrote it. If it comes from God, it's God. It came from him. He is the one who gave the inspiration. One day, Peter and John, this is Acts 3, 1-26. Peter and John were going up to the temple at time to pray at about 3 in the afternoon. A crippled man from birth was being carried from a temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you." In the name of Jesus Christ, he caused the man to stand up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Now, you know he needed to behave himself. When all the people saw him walking, praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. What does the people do? While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if we're our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified the servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses." When God does something, he don't hide a thing, and he's not hiding it before us today. And it didn't matter if Jesus Christ died 1,000,000 years ago. He's still the author of life. He's still the one to whom we go. Where is there a single verse in the Scriptures, just one verse anywhere in the New Testament, that tells me you're going to heaven when you die? Just give me one. Everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. Give me one verse. Just one. You know why you can't do that? you would have to write your own. You have never, nor will you ever, be invited into that space. That space belongs to God. It's kind of like God sheds Himself all over the world, but that's His little old spot right there, and you have no business in it. Does that make you mad? If you've got a God that does all this for you, takes care of every need you have, do you need to be anywhere else? I really don't want to be ugly, and I don't want to sound ugly, but sometimes we're just dumb. We don't listen. We don't read. What we do is we say, well, we're interpreting the Scriptures. No, you're interpolating. That means you're putting it in there. That's not our job. If y'all find that verse, I'll back up. I'll come back and preach this sermon backwards and undo it, okay? Listen to the song, we're going to walk around heaven all day. Of course, they're visiting everybody and all this kind of stuff. Is that consistent with the kind of action God does? God want us walking around visiting all day? Or does God have a job for us? When God created the earth, and then He created the man and then the woman, what was the first thing He did after they were created? What did He do? He gave them a job. Same day. That's part of what's wrong with this country. You got people that'll take everything you got from people that had a job. God can fix that. You know that, right? He's got judgments that can fix that. Do you think heaven's going to be a celestial church service? Oh, and when we get to heaven, we're just going to sing and pray. Where were you all these years when we were doing that? God will say in His greatest voice, that dog won't hunt, or something like that. He can say it in God terms, of course. How do you explain passages like this? 1 Corinthians 1, 1-6. If any of you has a dispute, do you dare take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? You going to go talk to your buddy about it? You going to go talk to somebody over here in some other religious array? Do you not know that you will judge the world? Do you know God is putting that in our hands? Now, if God's going to put that in my hands, and Al, Robert, Alan, all of you, we ought to have a little gumption about us if we're going to have that kind of power. What do you say? Yes or no? I'm telling you, God is on your side. I don't want you to blink an eye. When you start to die, I don't want you fretting over it. I don't want you squalling about it. I want you to embrace it and say, you know what? Right now, I'm alive. I'm going to be dead in a few minutes, but I will see God. God's on your side. That's how much God loves you. Mercy. What can you say? Do you not know that you will judge the world? Do you want another one? Do you not know that you will judge angels? Woo! Buddy, this thing's getting richer all the time. God is putting in our hands the fix for the whole creation. He's going to do the same thing your mama and daddy did if they was any good at all. And when you broke something, they said, you broke it, you fix it. I grew up, oh no, you broke it, you fix it. It wasn't any of this thing about sweeping it off somewhere, I'm just so sorry. No, sir, buddy, you broke it, you fix it. I took my daddy's truck apart when I was 10 years old. Not the whole truck. I didn't want the whole truck. I just wanted to take some stuff off, see how it worked. He comes home and I'm up under this truck. And he come in there and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking this truck apart." He didn't throw a fit. He said, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "I want to see how it works." He said, "Did you see?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, put it back together. I'm supposed to go to bed." He worked shift work. And that's the way it went. And when he got in the truck the next morning, that truck run. I was 10 years old. He taught me stuff about putting stuff together. When I was 10 years old, I was able to put roofs on a house without his help and shingles, because he taught me what to do. Do you see the apostle here appeal to something that's higher than earthly judgments? Are you able to see that whatever's involved in these verses appeals to some future event that he uses, and we will be in another realm? I'm going to tell you, you have fallen into the best thing you can ever see in your life. Now, do you see that he solved the problem at Corinth because he lifted the eyes of the Corinthians to see what they could not see? Does the picture become more clear why the church cried out, "Oh Lord, come"? Church today says, "Oh Lord, I hope the Lord don't come. I wish He'd come right now. It would be glory." We need to change our views. There's only one thing that could be done to help the struggling believers, and that's that we learn to have larger views. I want you to know that there are things in the Scriptures that take you beyond who you are. Listen to this verse. There's two passages here. One is Psalm 8, 1-9. "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory under the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established your stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them?" Human beings that you care for. God, you know, the text is saying, I mean, God, when you got all of this glorious stuff in the universe, why do you care about that bunch? You know why He cares about the bunch? He created the bunch because He loves us. "What else you do, Lord?" Hey, you made them rulers over the work of your hand. You put everything under their feet. All the flocks, all the animals, the wild birds in the sky, the fish of the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the sea. Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God made us great. God gave us power. God gave us strength. God gave us eternity. That's what we have. You can't lose with that. Boy, that sure sounds like, boy, I hope I make it. Ooh, I hope I make it. I hope I get into heaven. I hope you don't. I don't want you up there ruining His spot. That's His place. Stay out of His house. He gives us a house. God is on our side. Listen, everything in the Scripture is about Him. In my best English, it ain't about you. It includes you. And how glorious is it? How glorious is it to be invited into God's dwelling? You come up with something that'll beat that, you can start yourself a whole new religion. False religion. But I'm going to tell you, I will sacrifice not one single one of you to the devil. You are God's children. You're my children. Well, for a while you have been anyway. But I'm going to tell you what, God's on your side. You can't lose with God. You stand up straight. You hold your head up. And in all of the stuff that you do wrong, understand that it's been forgiven and it's no longer part of your past. It's been dealt with. And if you sin tomorrow, and you will, you look back again and it'll be gone. Because the covenant that God embraced you with is a covenant of freedom. And He has created it so that your sins are wiped away, never to be seen again. If any comes back, wiped away. Because of the covenant. Now all you got to do, if you don't like it, walk away from the covenant, and then you'll get to see what's on the other side. But I'm going to tell you, this is good stuff. Let's pray. Father, You are so great. We thank You for Your promises and Your generosity to worms like ourselves. But You love us. You've taken care of us. You've instructed us. You've taken us to heights. You've taken us to depths. But we know that the big thing right here is that it's You taking us. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to You to take us anywhere You choose, because we know that Your graciousness will always be in our best behalf. Through Christ we pray, and amen.